Our devotional messages this week will be based each day on the message to be found in one of the great Christian hymns. How comforting and stimulating it is, as we sing these hymns, to realize that we are adding our voices to the great stream of praise which has come from the hearts and lips of a great host of saints and martyrs. We are units in the great army of the followers of Christ. In singing hymns, we should not be satisfied with the pleasure the music gives us, but should seek the meaning of the words and the spiritual message for our heart. All of us have thoughts and feelings which we cannot express, but oft times we may find them in the words of the poet. Thus we may share his spiritual experience. Our hymn today, How Firm a Foundation, first appeared in a small collection published in 1787 by Dr. Rippon, pastor of a Baptist church in London. Its lines are definitely inspired by the word of the Lord to Israel, recorded by Isaiah. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And in the book of Hebrews, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. Centuries ago, God assured his children of one of the freedoms for which man in his own way is so desperately struggling today, the freedom from fear. Why should the Christian fear? Because of hunger, because of sickness, because of persecution by unrighteous men. God says, I am thy God. I am with thee. So when hard pressed by circumstances, he says, my righteous and omnipotent hand shall cause thee to stand and face the world with courage. The experiences which oft tax our emotions and put a strain upon our faith are, after all, meant for our good. We are subject to the ills of the race, but God will bless our troubles and through our deepest distress bring us closer to himself. Only thus can he consume the dross within us and refine the gold in our lives. We cannot understand why certain things happen to us, but why should we seek to understand? It is enough that God understands. When we are called upon to go through deep waters where we cannot see the next step but tremblingly feel for a firm footing, then it is that if we trust God, the rivers of sorrow shall not swell above our heads. When called upon to face fiery trials which take our appetites and cause us to lose sleep, God's grace through Christ shall be sufficient to keep the flame from hurting us. These are promises of God which we should remember, or none of us escape sorrow and trouble. The hymn, How Firm a Foundation, depicts the faithfulness of God to his saints, to those who have trusted Jesus with their lives and fled to him for refuge. We may trust him to care for us in all our experiences, and the guarantee of our faith is recorded in God's word. Thus, if we really trust our all to him, what more can we wish for? What more can we desire than this promise of a faithful God? He will not desert anyone who has trusted in Jesus. Though poverty, though sickness, though sorrow, though hell itself almost overwhelm us, God says, call upon me, and I'll never, no, never forsake thee. How many great Christians, rich and poor, of high and low estate, have loved this hymn and found consolation and help therein. Andrew Jackson loved it because it was a favorite of his wife. Robert E. Lee, Theodore Roosevelt, and Woodrow Wilson loved it, and it was sung at the funeral service of each of them. Set to the tune of Adeste Fidelis, it is inspiring and thrilling to hear it sung by a great audience. How I would have liked to have been present on the hills overlooking Havana, Cuba, on that tropical Christmas Eve night in 1998, where the American 7th Army Corps was encamped. The voice of a sentinel from the 49th Ohio called, Number 10, 12 o'clock and all's well. A strong voice began a song. Many voices joined until the entire regiment was singing. Then the 6th Missouri and the 4th Virginia joined, and all the rest, until a whole Army Corps on the long ridge close to the sky was singing, "Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid." O eternal and almighty God, we praise thee and bless thy name because of the faithful promises thou hast given thy children. We ever seek thy presence. Be close to us in our rejoicings and in our sorrows. Fill every moment of our lives with thy spirit, so that thy peace, which passeth all understanding, may be in us. Bless thy people in hazardous labor, in sickness, in distress of any nature, for Jesus and his sorrow. Amen. Poor is the soul of a man who has no acquaintance with the Christian hymn book. It is the handmaiden of the Bible. It has been said that from it the average Christian gets all of his theology. Certainly throughout the ages, man has voiced his praise to God in song, his joys and his sorrows. The Hebrew Book of the Psalms is the greatest collection of hymns in existence. These poetic outbursts of exultation, penitence, and prayer cover all the emotions of which the human heart is capable. Creeds and forms of church government tend to separate Christians today, but in the hymnal, all can worship together as followers of Christ. Differences are forgotten when a great congregation lifts its united voice in the words, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me hide myself in thee." This hymn, written by Charles Wesley soon after his conversion, was first published in 1740. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, thought it sentimental, and it was not included in the Methodist hymnal until 1797, 10 years after the death of Charles. Many of our best-loved hymns have thus been long in finding favor with the church at large, but succeeding years have only added to their prestige. Undoubtedly, it is one of the greatest hymns in the English language. In fact, it is one of the supreme hymns of Christendom, having been translated into practically every language where Christ is preached. Hundreds of stories of its usage and influence might be told, but one I like particularly concerns a singer on an excursion boat on the Potomac River some years after the Civil War. A singer was singing hymns, and in conclusion sang, "Jesus, lover of my soul." A stranger, stepping up to him, asked if he had been in the late war. "Yes, sir," was the reply. "I fought under General Grant." The stranger had been a Confederate soldier, and one night during the war, he had been commanded to slip out between the lines and shoot the Federal sentinel. Crawling stealthily forward, he came to a vantage point and took aim in the bright moonlight at his intended victim's heart. But stopping his breath to pull the trigger, he heard the soldier singing the words, "Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing." His finger relaxed on the trigger, and greatly moved, he crept back to his own line. The singer, overwhelmed, said he well remembered the night, for as he paced his post, a great feeling of depression overcame him, and he lifted his thoughts to God, and this hymn was the prayer of his heart. Until that day, he had not known how God answered his prayer. And so the hymn is perfect prayer, and every line might have been suggested by a verse of Scripture. Jesus, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He is the lover of every soul, and made the supreme sacrifice by giving his life, not only for mankind, but for every individual, you and me. As John reclined on the bosom of Jesus at the Last Supper, so may each of us find a place of refuge there. While the waters of despair roll over our heads, and the tempests of life almost overwhelm us, There is a safe haven where we may hide until the storm of life is past. There is no refuge other than Christ in God. God is our refuge and strength. Our helpless souls hang on Him, who will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. He will not leave us alone, nor in any wise forsake us, but will comfort us. Recognizing then our dependence on God, we may sing, "All my trust on Thee is stayed." How happy is the one who can sing this in truth. For a defenseless head shall be covered with the shadow of His wings. How beautiful are the words of the psalmist, saying, "In the shadow of Thy wings will I take refuge." When in our Christian experience we can say, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want," we have denied self and are reaching out hungrily for the constant presence of our Savior. Just and holy is the name, but we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all unrighteousness, false and full of sin. For if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But the glory of the only begotten is full of grace and truth. Plenteous grace to cover all our sins. And so we pray for the healing streams of grace to make us clean and pure. For Christ is the fountain of life, and as water springs up in the desert, and grass and trees reach up toward the sky, so spring Thou up in our hearts, that we may rise to Thee through all eternity. O Thou Father of Christ Jesus, Thou art the source of all of our strength and peace. Give us this day Thy blessing. Deliver us from the floodwaters of sin. Keep us clean and pure within. Give us the water of life free, so that we shall never thirst. For Jesus' sake, amen. A real friend is a jewel of rare value. Earthly friendships often mean more happiness than great possession. But it is in the bonds of Christ that friendship reaches its highest climax. Christ's love for us binds us to Himself, and in His love we are bound together. It is not the tie of human affection only, but the tie of a love which emanates from God Himself. History and literature give us many incidents of great love, filial love, marital love, brotherly love, but nothing compares to the love which Christ had for us and continues to have for us. This love, reflected in the minds and hearts of His followers, is the greatest tie which human beings can have. In a small village in England, men were loading the furniture of a beloved pastor into a wagon which was to take him to a larger field. The members of the congregation were gathered around with tear-stained faces. Tears came to the eyes of the pastor and his wife. At last the wife said, "John, I cannot bear this. I know not how to go." The pastor replied, "Nor I either, nor will we go. Unload the wagon and put everything in its place where it was before." And so, because of a genuine Christian love for those people, Christians gather the world around. It was not human love only which prompted Fawcett to remain, but the tie that bound his heart to his people was Christian love. It bound them together here upon earth for 50 years and still binds them in the heavenly kingdom. This sincere friendship is not only our rare privilege, it is a command which Christ left with us, a new commandment which surpassed the rigid justice of the law. Love ye one another, even as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A test, then, of our love for Christ is whether or not we love our Christian brethren. It is a sad commentary on Christian discipleship to see members of a congregation hating each other. Of course, there will be differences of opinion, and judgments will not always be the same, but these should be settled in love and not cause a separation. Minds and hearts set on Christ should have a fellowship one with another, which is like to that above. This hymn beautifully expresses some of these experiences. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Not only do we pray together, but we pray for each other. And it is difficult to feel unkindly toward one for whom we pray. If you hate someone, pray for them, and your hate will turn to love. We have common fears, common hopes, common aims. Our comforts and our cares we have in common. And how wonderful it is to share these before the throne of grace. We have mutual woes and burdens. And it is one of the Christian joys to share another's burden and to have our own load lightened by our fellow Christian. Then in times of greatest distress, when the floods sweep over us, how comforting it is to have a fellow Christian share our distress, even to the point of a sympathizing tear. In fact, the sorrows and troubles of others bring out in the Christian true love and friendship. When we go down into the valley with those who love Christ, it really is a thrilling experience, a foretaste of the day when sorrow shall be no more. When Christians part, there is always a sense of loss. When a beloved pastor moves on to another field, there is regret. When between us there comes the final earthly parting, there is much inward pain, but there is still a union of spirit. We shall still be joined in heart, and hope to meet again. The world today needs nothing more than the bond to be found in Christian fellowship and love. If all men love Christ sufficiently, there would be no room for hate. There would be no race prejudice. There would be no corruption in government. There would be no misunderstanding between nations. But love would abound. We would in truth be our brother's keeper. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. We thank thee, O God, for the joys of Christian fellowship. We thank thee for those who love us because we love Christ. Those who love us in spite of our weaknesses. We pray for knowledge and strength to be true Christian friends to those around us, and give us a genuine love for all men and a desire to see all men worship at the feet of our Savior. For he loved all men and died for all men. Through him we pray. Amen. Many great hymns are born of a great spiritual upheaval and are prayers for aid, comfort, and guidance. But every Christian knows that while confusion and grief makes us realize more fully our dependence upon God, yet many of our finest experiences with God take place in more calm moments. Mrs. Annie Hawkes writes thus about our hymn for today. I remember well the morning when in the midst of the daily care of my home, I was so filled with a sense of nearness to the Master that wondering how one could live without him, either in joy or pain, these words, I need thee every hour, were ushered into my mind, the thought at once taking full possession of me. She sat down at once and wrote the stanzas of the song just as they are. Reverend Robert Lowry, her pastor in Brooklyn, added the refrain and wrote the music. It was first sung in 1872 at a meeting of the National Baptist Sunday School Association held in Cincinnati. It is one of our finest gospel hymns and has endeared itself to Christians all over the world. The fact that it has survived 57 years and appears in nearly all hymnals is proof of its value to the growth of our spiritual nature. In fact, Mrs. Hawke says that it was not until years later, when sorrow came upon her, that she realized the comfort and security to be found in the hymn. She felt it a great privilege to have thus blessed the world. It is in times of distress that most of us cry out most frequently to our Lord. Yet most happy is the man who feels the need of the presence of Christ in every moment and every activity of his life. It is only too true that the man who walks every day in the light of God's smile, whose rejoicings are filled with the presence of Christ, this man in the time of trouble will be covered more securely by the shadow of his wings. We need at all times to hear the tender voice of Jesus. No other voice can speak such peace to the individual heart, nor to the nations. Peace I give unto you, a peace which passeth all human understanding. That voice which rejoiced at the marriage feast, which opened the eyes of the blind, which caused the lame to walk, which condemned not but forgave, which, rising above the Judean hills, was heard only by God his Father. How wonderful it is to hear that voice in our hearts today. Let us be still and listen to the voice of Jesus every hour. The second stanza prays, "Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh." How true it is. By the help of Christ, we can resist any temptation. In his presence, we cannot sin. Our difficulty is that we forget him and seek only to be guided by our human desires. The evil one is ever at our side, painting a seemingly beautiful picture of the ways of darkness, unless we keep Jesus there and walk with him. He is the only safe guide and stay. In his company, the evil thought is stopped, the unkindly word never uttered. To walk in the way of righteousness, we need Jesus every hour. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. With Christ, our joys become more real, more lasting. They are more satisfying and continue to grow more so. Who does not remember the joy he had when first he saw the Lord? And this joy will continually increase if we are by his side every hour. One of the happiest Christians I have ever known was one paralyzed and bedridden for 5 years. Yet her heart was ever praising Jesus for his love and tender care. How vain is life without Jesus. Many do not realize this, for they walk in darkness and ignorance. And never having seen the light, they do not know what they lack. The last stanza may be a prayer that we may be made a bearer of the good news to those who walk in darkness. Teach me thy will is not an idle prayer, and sometimes our stubborn selves may not really want to know God's will. A mother may not want her daughter to go as a foreign missionary, or a man may resist the call to preach the gospel. Jesus would have passed the bitter cup, except that it was his Father's will. So when we pray to know God's will for our lives, we must also pray for courage to do that will, even though it does not fit the life we had planned for ourselves. Once knowing and doing that will of God, we become agents to fulfill the promises of God to all mankind. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need thy presence every hour. This world is one of confusion unless we know thy will for our lives. We would be good servants of thine and minister to thy children. We would obey the command of Jesus and spread the good news of the gospel to the far corners of the earth. We need thee not alone for ourselves, but that we may serve thee, that others, seeing our lives, may want to know our Lord, Christ Jesus. Amen.